Be seated. The text for today's message is taken from today's gospel, especially these words. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, when I was heading to my last year at the seminary, that summer I bought my first new car. It was a Ford Escort GT, and it was red, cherry red. It was silly because it's an escort, you know. Just because you put a spoiler on it doesn't make it a sports car, but, you know, I liked it. And, of course, to get it out to the Midwest, my father and I drove from Portland, or Tigard, to St. Cloud, Minnesota, and then he flew back, and then a couple days later, I drove down to St. Louis. Now, before he left, he gave me three bills, okay? He gave me two tens, and he said, "Now, this is for your food and gas." Gas was a lot cheaper back then, okay? And if you go to Missouri, it's really cheap there. But anyway, $20 for food and gas. And then he gave me a $100 bill. Never seen one before. And he said, "And this is for your books." And I was like, great. Got it all figured out. So, as usual, I left late at night. So I'd get there in the morning. And made a few stops. Got some gas. Okay. Used up some $10, $15. Then I went and went to McDonald's and bought a meal. And everything was going fine. And I got to the seminary, got my dorm assignment, and moved in, walked over to the bookstore, pulled out my syllabus for my classes, and picked up all my books, brought them to the counter, and he rang me up, and he said, "That'll be $98, and I go, "Perfect." And I pulled out a $10 bill. So what had happened, of course, is I had given $100 at McDonald's, okay, and I guess I missed the zero. I think that's what happens when you drive late at night, right? You don't really think. And it's like my entire life stopped just like that. What am I going to do? In fact, I tried jogging my memory this last week about this, and I don't know how I got my books. I really don't. I blacked out from that point on. It was such a horrifying thing. But everything just stopped for me. We see a similar thing happening in this text, but it happens twice. Once Jesus stops because of a woman who touches his clothing, and the second time he stops is because of Jairus' daughter being dead. Now, we really have to look at these. Jairus comes to Jesus after he crosses the Sea of Galilee, and he's a leader of the church, and he says, "I know you can help my daughter. Let's hurry up and help my daughter before she dies." It shows you that not all the religious leaders were against Jesus. He certainly wasn't. And Jesus said, "Sure, that's great." Now, here's the big problem. You got this throng of people, okay? A mass of people surrounding Jesus, following him. And you realize that's not the fastest way to travel, okay? They move very slowly. Jairus must have been getting very impatient as he's moving ahead. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Jesus just stops. And everybody's like, "Why are you stopping?" I mean, it doesn't say Jairus said anything, but I'm sure Jairus is like, "Let's go, let's go, let's go." And Jesus said, "Well, someone touched me." And the disciples are like, "What are you talking about? You know, everybody's touching everybody. It's a crowd, okay?" And Jesus goes, "No, someone touched me. Who touched me?" He's just not going anywhere. Now, of course, we know why Jesus stopped. This woman came up and touched his robe. Actually, the part of his robe that's actually described is the fringes. If you ever see an Orthodox or conservative Jew with a prayer shawl, and they got those little fringes hanging on the corners, that's what she touched. And she really believed that she would be healed. She takes this last chance to be healed. because her life is completely done. I mean, the condition she had for a woman made her as unclean in that culture as you can possibly be. She took the chance, she trusted in Jesus, and she is healed. The bigger question is, then why did Jesus have to stop? Couldn't he have just kept going? I mean, she would have still been healed, right? She would have been. But you see, Jesus was concerned about her. He didn't want her to trust that she was healed. He wanted her to trust the person who had healed her and live the rest of her life understanding that. Now, they get going again. Okay, this is all cleared up. She told the truth. Okay, let's go. Jairus is like, all right. Take a few steps and everything stops again. Why? Servants come. And what did the servants say? It's some of the coldest words in the Bible, I think. Yeah, you don't have to bother Jesus. Your daughter's dead. That's really nice, you know. And his life just comes to an end, and Jesus stops. Now, why did he stop? Couldn't he have just kept walking and healed the girl, raised her from the dead? Of course he could have done that. It all would have turned out the same. And you know what? For Jairus at the time, he probably thought, that's all I want. I want my daughter back. I want to see her grow up. I want to see her get married, have kids. I want to see her grow up and to be a joyful person. But for Jesus, he wanted more for Jairus. He didn't want Jairus just to think, to trust and to rejoice in the blessing. He wanted to be trusting and rejoicing in the one who brought the joy, in the one who brought the healing and the resurrection. And I'm not sure if Jairus is really paying attention to much, but if he had been, he would have seen that this woman with the flow of blood for 12 years was a living illustration of what he says in verse 36. Do not be afraid, only believe. You see, it says she moved through the crowd, okay? This is in her community where this is taking place. Everybody in town knows her, and she's cut off. She can't be married. She can't have kids. She can't cook. She can't have a job. She can't go to church. She's completely cut off from her society and her culture. And what does she do? She pushes through that fear in faith, pushing through people, neighbors, that if they knew she was touching them, would freak out, until she gets to Jesus and she's healed. And then Jesus says two important things, two important gifts that he has given her. First of all, he calls her daughter. What does that mean? Now that you're healed, you are part of God's family again, and no one can say you're ever unclean. And the second thing is, he says, your sins have been forgiven, you are healed. You trusted in me. He says, now you have faith. It's a wonderful thing that he's given her, a wonderful gift that he's given her. And if Jairus had been paying attention, it almost seems like he did, because he certainly follows suit. He follows her example. What does he do? He pushes through his grief, he pushes through his fear, and he goes on with Jesus. And finally, he sees the miracle of his daughter being risen from the dead. And he will never forget that miracle, never forget that blessing, and mostly, he will never forget the Savior who gave him that blessing, and never stop walking in faith with that Savior. And Jesus wants the same for us. He blesses us. And he certainly wants us to enjoy those blessings, of course. That's why he gives them to us. And yet there are an awful lot of things in this world that can just stop us in our track, and we are stopped and dead in the road. We don't know what to do. See, blessings dry up. Health goes away. Money can be lost. Families can fall apart. All of these things happen in our life. But our Lord Jesus Christ continues to give us faith, not just to trust in the blessing, but to trust in the one who has given us the blessing and to follow where he leads. I pray that these two wonderful examples of faith might continue to help us rejoice in the faith that's been given to us, so that we can see this Savior, thank him for his blessings, and follow where he leads. In Jesus' name, amen.